How can you manage your home without draining the limited capacity you have as a highly sensitive person? Well, in part two of my conversation with Kathy Lipp, we discuss practical ways that HSPs can reduce home management overwhelm, including making pre-decisions before guilt and emotion take over, choosing what to keep when possessions carry emotional weight, containing lists, notes, papers, and visible reminders, creating one reliable source of truth, and asking for calmer shared spaces without feeling controlling. We also explore what may really be happening when an HSP gets labeled controlling for needing more calm at home, and how to communicate our sensory needs with clarity and compassion. This episode will help you approach home management with greater self-awareness, more realistic expectations, and less shame about what your uniquely wired nervous system actually needs. Welcome to Grit and Grace, the podcast for highly sensitive Christian women. I'm your host, Sherry Gregory. Are you tired of the overthinking, overwhelm, and exhaustion that can come with being a highly sensitive person? Are you ready to stop worrying that something's wrong with you and start understanding and nurturing yourself as an HSP? Together, we'll build resilience, practice self-compassion, set healthy boundaries, unlock your creativity, and learn to embrace, not fight, your God-given sensitivity. Let's dig in. Hey friend, I'm so glad you're here with me. Today is part two of my conversation with dear friend and longtime collaborator, Kathy Lipp, and we're talking about home management and the highly sensitive person. In part one, we talked about why clutter can feel like so much more than just stuff for an HSP, and also how a stabilizing day can help when your home feels completely out of control. This time, we're moving into a different set of challenges, like making decisions before guilt and emotion take over, deciding what to keep when objects carry stories and memories, containing all the visible reminders our brains genuinely need, and communicating our need for calm to the people who share our spaces. Now, these questions came directly from members of the Sensitive and Strong Community Cafe. And as Kathy and I talked through them, we found ourselves returning again and again to one central concern. How can we manage our homes in ways that support our capacity rather than continually depleting our capacity? But before we dive into the questions, let me pause to introduce Kathy. Kathy Lipp loves to walk with women who are decluttering every part of their lives, from their homes to their unhelpful beliefs. Kathy is the Publisher's Weekly best-selling author of 20 books, including Sabbath Soup, The Accidental Homesteader, Overwhelmed, and Clutter-Free. She is the host of the Clutter-Free Academy podcast, the Clutter Academy Facebook group, and Clutter-Free for Life. Kathy lives on her Red House mini homestead with her husband Roger and 9-pound dog Moose. They regularly host their blended family of six, writers' retreats, and loads of people they love. Here's Kathy.
Okay, we're going to get into it. We're just going to dive right in. If you haven't heard part one and you don't even know what we're talking about, go back and listen to last week's podcast. We'll put the link there in the show notes. But Sherry, my question for you is, how can HSPs pre-decide in areas like purging and decluttering so they don't get stuck in procrastination or perfectionism? These are questions that we have cobbled together from your Sensitive and Strong group, a group of HSPs. And so I know that it's so easy for all of us to get stuck. Is it even harder for HSPs to stay out of the stuck zone?
I think so. And, you know, part of it, one of the things in the question itself, perfectionism. Mm-hmm. Perfectionism is the dark side. It's kind of the flip side of the HSP strength of being a deeply reflective thinker. And one of the things that comes along with that is we can be accused of overthinking everything and, you know, taking it to that extreme. This is why it's so important to make those pre-decisions ahead of time
so that when the time comes, we don't start relitigating things and we don't start moving the goalposts. That's one of the hardest things for me when it comes to making decisions. I think I've made it. And then I'm like, well, but maybe I should start over from scratch. And then I find myself using so many different standards. Should I make it based on my own value? Should I make it based on convenience? Should I make it based on making other people happy? And all of that feels like then everything's been thrown up in the air as a tossed salad. And then the safe decision feels like making no decision, right, which of course means we keep everything.
Yes.
But that's not the safe decision. It just means that we are making ourselves trapped and nothing changes and we are stuck with the same amount of stuff as before. So this question is actually really relevant to me right now because, as I shared with you yesterday, when we happened to have a chance to get together, this Sunday, I'm going to be having a conversation with my dad and his wife, and they are planning to sell the house I grew up in. And they have a whole list of things they want to talk about, including books, which are my love language, and a whole bunch of other things. And even on the list they shared with us was anything that might be useful. And I'm like, oh no, I have to make pre-decisions. Otherwise, who knows how many carloads of stuff I could be tempted to bring home.
Yeah.
And part of that is my empathy. Part of that is there's my own emotional intensity of that's the home I grew up in. Some of these are still my mother's things. And there's the empathy of, well, but this is my father. This is my stepmother. They want to give things to us.
Right.
They want the legacy to continue. They want the children to be the ones to carry their precious belongings away. And I want to honor them in any way that I can. And so all of those, you know, stories that I'm telling, and it's not just my head that's telling the story. It's the story my entire system is telling.
Right.
All of that can take over. And so pre-deciding is so important.
Yeah.
With all of those little landmines that I've kind of described, what kind of advice would you give in a truly sensitive situation like what I just shared?
I think that pre-decisions is absolutely the right way to go. And I think in a circumstance like that, let's talk about your dad and his wife and those things. It's the conversation you have with the people you live with, where you are pre-deciding together what you will bring home, what you won't bring home. Are there 10 books I want to take? Not 1,000, because there could be 1,000 books that you're...
Oh, there definitely are 1,000 books.
Yes. You know, those, but having those discussions in advance. And I think pre-decision often happens within the context of your bigger life. You know, right now we live in a pretty big home, but we also know probably within the next 5 years, we need to sell that home because it's sitting on 33 acres of property. Who needs that in their 60s? Some people would love that. But, you know, we also realize we have a balance of loving adventure. We're on this RV adventure right now. Or what's the balance there? And so your dad and your stepmom, they don't know as much about your life as you do. Mm-hmm. And they say, well, Sherry loves books. Well, Sherry loves a certain kind of book. Mm-hmm. And you have a wide variety, but maybe your father's medical textbooks from the 40s are not the thing. You know, maybe one that was precious. You know, if your father has a copy of Grey's Anatomy from the 40s that he learned from, maybe that would be just the right thing to bring it home. But it's also dividing those categories. What do I bring home that is a loving reminder of my dad? Yeah. Are there things that we do need? You know, maybe they have, a KitchenAid stand mixer. And you're like, yes, please. I would love that. Because those things could last 100 years as well.
Oh, yeah.
And so you could say yes to those things. And I think sometimes being that I know your family is going to want you to take more than you want to take. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes I have to pull the... Well, my husband and I discussed it, and this is what we're able to do. And so to honor my husband, now here's the thing. Roger would want to honor me right back. But, you know, sometimes you have to use the coded language of the people you're talking to.
Of course.
And so to say, we've decided we can bring home one carload or three carloads or whatever it is, but we can't do more than that.
Sure.
Because also you live several hundred miles away and gas near you, you were just telling me, is $10 a gallon. Was that you telling me?
Yeah, not too far from where I live, $10 a gallon.
That's insane. Like the highest I've seen it around here is seven something. $10 a gallon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't make economic sense. So you putting those boundaries and those pre-decisions in place. But even if you're not getting something from somebody else, just your own current circumstances, if you have too much stuff in your house, to say, to actually put on a post-it note, I only keep clothes that fit my current body and my current life. You know, maybe you were a teacher 20 years ago and you have your teacher outfit. Even if you went back to teaching, you're not going to wear those clothes again. You know, you're not going to keep the uniforms from another job. Or I had a lot of dress up clothes when I was speaking. You know, I still speak, but I don't need a bunch of different outfits to speak. I need at the most four outfits to speak. So I'm going to keep the best four outfits and get rid of the rest. I'm going to keep one memory box per child or grandchild. That's a pre-decision. I donate books I would not buy again today. Or I don't plan on rereading. I don't keep items out of guilt. If I have not used it in a year and it's easy to replace, I can let it go. So those pre-decisions. What I'm trying to help my HSP friends with is I want you to reduce repeated emotional decisions.
That's so important. One of the newest pieces of research on HSPs is that we experience 4 to 6 times as much guilt as non-HSPs.
Ugh.
And that is just an enormous amount. And so then you couple that with the possibility of ruminating over, well, do I keep this? Do I get rid of this? Do I keep it? Do I get rid of it? It's just too much.
Yeah.
It is too much for our systems. And so those pre-decisions and following through on them is going to be such a relief.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, let's go to the next question. And I'm happy to answer first, or you can answer first. Whatever works for you. And by the way, you know, when we're talking about pre-deciding, it's making that decision when the emotional heat is not on. Pre-deciding is borrowing wisdom from your calm self before your overwhelmed self, you know, walks into the closet. You know, it's like when you make your decisions when you're not in the midst of it, that's going to be your best place to make that decision. Okay, number two, how do we decide what to keep when it comes to things with emotional weight? Kids, art, books, baby gear, photos, letters, and family memories. Do you want?
Well, you started answering this one already, so go for it.
Okay. One of the questions, you know, when my dad passed away, I wanted to keep everything because it felt like getting rid of anything was a slight to him. But eventually I came up with the question, does this represent him, our season together, or a memory of us well?
Nice.
So does it represent my dad well? Does it represent that season we had together well, or does it represent a memory well? So that was something. Mm-hmm. And then is this the best example? Like, you know, I didn't just keep one picture of my dad and myself as a child, but I didn't keep 100 either.
Yeah, sure.
I think I probably kept like 7. And for some people, they're going to have a lot more. Just for me, that was the right number of times with my dad that was a good representation. Another question you can ask yourself is, would I go looking for this?
Oh, that's a really good question.
It was a very clarifying question for me.
Yeah.
If I got rid of this, would I remember that I ever had it?
Yeah.
And then about 5 years down the road, I was able to ask myself, am I keeping this with love or is it guilt, fear, or obligation?
So good.
And so that was another layer of things I was able to get out of that. Then another question was, could a photo of this serve the same purpose?
Okay.
And sometimes the answer was yes, and sometimes it was no. And so, like, I have a coffee grinder that my parents got as a wedding gift. Now, neither of them drink coffee, but the reason I keep it is because my brother and I got in trouble one time for grinding dog food in it. And my parents served coffee to somebody in their life that tasted surprisingly like dog food.
Oh, that is too funny for words. Of course you had to keep it.
I had to keep it. And also, it's beautiful. I love having it on my shelf. So it's a great memory.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful.
Yeah.
If it was just beautiful and it had no memory attached, I don't think I would keep it.
Sure.
Or if it just had that memory, I think I still would keep it even if it wasn't beautiful, but because it's both.
Yeah.
So, but like kids' art, almost always we can take a picture of that and it would have the same memories for me.
Yes.
Baby gear, most of that is probably out of date and just needs to be thrown away.
Yeah.
Photos and letters, keep the ones that tell the clearest story.
So good.
And you don't need to keep the ones where people are blurry or you don't know who's in the picture, that kind of thing. You were the one who told me when everything is precious, nothing is.
Yeah.
And I love that so much. How about you? How do we decide? Is there anything that I haven't mentioned?
I think you've kind of alluded to this in the examples you've given, and that is, for me, what's become important is I really want to tilt towards the positive or the elevated memories rather than just keep everything and kind of have this sludge that I at some point would have to go through. And it's not that I want to paint an unrealistic picture, but I'm not going to keep things that make me go, oh yeah, that was the day when, or that's, we had that argument and, oh, we never did resolve that. Mm-hmm. Like, one of the things that can be a challenge of being a highly sensitive person is the natural human tendency towards a negativity bias.
Yeah.
That can be a heavier weight for those of us who are HSPs, that overthinking, that higher sense of guilt, that sort of thing. And so I'm giving myself permission to say goodbye to things that, for me, have a heaviness to them, have a weight to them that don't, I mean, like the coffee grinder, I mean, my goodness, that would make me giggle.
Right.
Right. And so the things, like one of the things I kept from my mother was a copy of a book called Women's Ways of Knowing. Mm-hmm. And it turned out she read that in grad school when she got her master's, and I read it in grad school, and I found her copy of it filled with underlining and annotations and even pages of notes. And I remember thinking as I got it and I read through her notes, I was like, it's almost like I'm having a conversation with my mother that I can never have.
Right.
And it's a positive. Yes. It's a net positive. Yes. Even though my mom and I weren't close, she was a perfectionist. I felt like a disappointment constantly. And so many of the things I chose not to bring in my house,
right,
they would have been negative reminders.
Yes.
And I just couldn't have them. But that is a precious reminder that someday I'll get to have more conversations with her and we'll be much more on the same page than we ever were when we were, you know, mother and daughter here together. So I'm really having a bias for those things where it either is a happy memory or it tends towards a more positive interpretation.
Yeah. And sometimes the most positive memory you have with a person would look like something negative to somebody else, but that's what you cling to. Mm-hmm. That's the hope that you cling to.
Yeah.
I love this so much. So one of the questions we got from Sherry's HSP group is, what can we do when we need visible reminders like lists, notes, and papers, but those reminders start taking over our desks and counters? I have an answer for this. Would you like me to go first, Sherry, or do you?
Yes, please.
Okay.
I feel very called out by this one.
Okay. But I'm going to tell you something that is going to shock you.
What?
And I meant to bring this up yesterday. You know how we had that discussion about planners yesterday and how we don't need planners and planners don't work for most people? I'm using a planner, but I want to tell you the scandalous way I'm using it.
Okay.
Okay. So this is a planner that I feel no guilt for not using for 3 weeks at a time.
What?
And then, yeah, it's not dated.
Okay.
I think that's what was killing me.
Huge.
Huge. Yes. So this is a planner where it's a week view at a time.
Mm-hmm.
A week is on two different pages. So
yes,
it has
yes.
enough room for me to make lists and things like that. And I'm not using that planner today because today pretty much my agenda is go do laundry at the RV park,
mm-hmm.
do a couple of podcasts with Sherry, write 500 words on my book, and go out to dinner with some friends. Like, I have other things I'm doing today, but
sure.
those are the things that need to get done today. So I'm not using my planner today. But I used it Wednesday when I had a whole bunch of things that I needed to check off. So on a busy day, it has from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. and I can write out what my schedule's in there. And then it has projects and to-dos.
Mm-hmm.
So a project is anything that I'm in the midst of, a to-do. These are my own definitions, are things that it's going to take me 15 minutes to get checked off.
Sure.
And there are weeks where I'm using it every single day in that week.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then there are times, like on this trip, this is the first week I've used it. And I'm okay with that. And I don't feel like I'm wasteful when mm-hmm. I'm not using it
mm-hmm.
and it works for me. So when I have a day where there are like too many reminders, too many things,
mm-hmm.
I will look at my computer where I also have my calendar.
Mm-hmm.
I will look at my computer where I also have some to-do lists, but this gives me a very narrow, these
yes.
are all the things you need to focus on today. And that has been very helpful for me. And I'll put a link to that planner in our notes. I'm not saying go buy a planner. I'm not, because mm-hmm. that you may just need a sheet of paper
mm-hmm.
where you can write all this, but this has been helpful to me
mm-hmm.
and it's a way for me to focus
yes.
on just what is here, and also a way to say, hey, I've got all these little notes and things. I'm going to gather everything mm-hmm. in one mm-hmm. place and just concentrate on that.
Yeah.
So,
and for anybody who's listening and not watching the video, I just want to point out that you keep using your hands to demonstrate condensing,
right.
bringing things together, putting boundaries yeah. around them, making them more manageable. Sorry, go ahead.
Yes. No, I think that that is so true. Folders work for other people. They just don't work for me. Yeah, that's not a good. So I have one thing that has worked really well for a lot of people in my community is there's like a home organization file with 12 months and 31 days. Something has shifted in my life. It just doesn't work for me anymore. And that's okay. I think because I'm much more on doing things on my computer than mm-hmm. I am. And I don't have that much paper coming through my life anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So I just have one pile on my desk when mm-hmm. I need a receipt for something, it's in that pile. I
yeah.
just don't have the paper that I used to. But for other people, that might be okay. You know, the key is that papers need a boundary. A pile, for a lot of people, says everything matters.
Mm.
But I'm really trying to, my goal is to eliminate as much paperwork in my life as possible,
yeah.
to have as much online as possible.
Yeah.
I'm so grateful to, like, my health, that I don't have mm-hmm. to keep all of my medical paperwork. All of that is online. And some people are like, they're very paranoid about that. Then that is not the system for you. You have to understand your own values and boundaries.
Yeah.
But for me, I'm perfectly fine having that all online. Anything you'd want to add to that?
I think I do something quite similar to you. I'm just sitting here thinking, because I've always been a scraps of paper, things flying all over kind of person.
Mm-hmm.
And my containment strategy, I do an online calendar. I'm not currently using a paper planner, but there have been times that has worked for me. but I'm realizing I have one main kind of box where anything financial or home related just gets stuck. Mm-hmm. And then every week I go through that, yeah. but it's literally one place. So that's never on my flat surfaces. Mm-hmm. And then I live and breathe. My entire life is post-it notes. And I don't know if this one will show up, but this is a pretty large yeah. lined post-it note. And
Daddy's finances, I saw it. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I realized that I have a whole bunch of things that I need to get out of my head, but rather than jotting them here, hither and yon, I'm getting them out on the line post-it notes. And then those will probably end up on my schedule, on my calendar.
Yeah.
And then if I have enough and I need to brainstorm and I need to organize things, the thing I love about the regular size, super sticky, post-it notes. I always use super sticky. Mm-hmm. You have to use super sticky. The regular sticky, they'll fall off.
Right.
But those can go on a window. Those can go on a wall. They can go on this edge of a computer. But I use foam core boards. My office is so covered with bookshelves. I don't have walls. Mm-hmm. But I'll use a few foam core boards to organize different parts of my life so that if I need to plan for Christmas, then that I might have one foam core board with post-it notes for that. And my whole point is I use post-it notes because they're movable until the plan kind of solidifies, and then I can go onto the computer with it. Mm. And the whole thing about that is, again, it's not things that are lying flat on my desk and piling up.
Yeah.
It is, and one thing per post-it note, my lined one with the list is unusual. Normally I waste space on post-it notes. It's one item because I need that movability in case, you know, plans change or whatever, but with the goal again of it becoming digitized, with it being added to my schedule ultimately. So yeah.
But the key is to have one central place. Yes. So for both of us, our one central place is online, on our online computer. I do, you know, for my focus, for my need for focus, I do put it into a paper planner many days, but that is not my one source of truth. Mm-hmm. And that's what's really important, is to have one place. Mm-hmm. You know, I get into trouble every time I try to do something from memory and I'm not looking at that single source of truth. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so understanding that. Okay. This, I think, is going to be very, very helpful for many of us when I want to hear what the thinking is for people who are HSPs and your communication with people that they love. How can we help our loved ones understand the impact of clutter as a visual noise without... And, you know, I hate the words controlling or critical, because often that is how people receive us and not how it's intended. Mm-hmm. But how do we have a healthy, productive conversation? What are some words that we can use?
Well, first of all, this is something you've taught me over the years. Conversations like this need to happen not in the heat of the moment,
right?
Like not when the clutter has driven somebody crazy and they're on the edge of their window of tolerance and about to dysregulate. They've just had it, right? I'd like to replace that word control. We don't want to seem controlling, but the simple fact is that as humans, we should have agency. We should have at least some agency in our homes. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, I've quit using the term control freak.
Yes.
I believe I'm a human seeking safety.
Yeah.
And it's okay to want to seek safety. And so to have agency and to have a sense of choice in one's own home, really, really important. But those conversations need to happen outside of a time. Like if the person who wants to initiate the conversation is feeling flooded, is feeling flustered, is feeling like they're about to melt down or something, that's not the time to have the conversation.
Yeah.
And the bottom line that I have finally had to come down to is we can't really help other people understand anything.
Yeah.
They have to want to understand. They have to choose to understand.
Yes.
They have to have the ability to take on another perspective, which some people don't. Some people can only understand their way of looking at things. Mm-hmm. And if they don't experience it, it doesn't exist. And so if the goal is to get them to understand so they will then cooperate with us, sometimes that's a losing proposition.
Yeah.
And often HSPs tend to be very collaborative. We're very reciprocal, whereas some people are very transactional. They're mm-hmm. less collaborative. They're more transactional. And that can feel really hard for us. We're like, we want to talk it out until you agree. And we're in this together.
Right.
And sometimes they're not going to be in it with us. And we have to say, this has such an impact on me.
Right.
You may not intend that impact. You may disagree with me. I am still going to, these are going to be the expectations that we have. And this is what I need in order for me to be a functional, fully functional human in this space.
Yes. Okay. I am very passionate about this topic and I agree with everything you say. And oftentimes people are ask me, you know, how can I get my husband to blah, blah, blah? How can I get my kids to blah, blah, blah? And sometimes it's a clutter problem. Often it's a relationship problem.
Yeah.
And many, and if you have to get to the point where your spouse or your parent or your roommate or your friend or your kids say, I don't care that this hurts you.
Yeah.
That is, mm-hmm. that's a relationship issue.
Yeah.
And there needs to be a counselor involved.
100%.
And if somebody at this point in my life was saying, I don't care about your well-being, mm-hmm. that's a serious, serious thing that we have to take into consideration.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say it'd be very hard for me to live with somebody who says, I don't care about your feelings.
Yeah.
Because of all the humans in the world, you should care the most.
Yeah.
And so I think there are some ways to think, say things like, when there are too many things out, my brain has trouble filtering.
Yes.
I'm trying to create enough calm that I can function and be present.
Yes.
That feels like a very reasonable request to me. And then I think the next step is to ask for specifics.
Mm-hmm.
Can we keep this one counter clear?
Yes.
Can backpacks go on the hook? And if there's a reason why they're saying, no, backpacks can't go on the hook because the last time I put a backpack up there, it fell. You know, mm-hmm. then let's have that conversation.
Yeah.
But instead of me saying, can backpacks go on the hook? And you just saying, no, I don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Can dishes go straight into the dishwasher?
Mm.
Can we do a 10-minute family reset after dinner?
Yeah.
We're not asking for a perfect home. We're asking for a clutter-free zone.
Ooh.
Where my brain can go and rest. You know, a calm home is not about control. It's about capacity.
Yes.
You and I both believe in capacity. And so I want to be in my best capacity for myself and for the people I love. If you want that same thing, then these are some of the things I need. And by the way, I'm looking to do the things that you need as well.
Yeah.
This is a cooperation.
Yeah.
It's not a competition. We're not saying, hey, everybody is here for one person. We're here for the harmony and the peacefulness and the joy of the entire household. So let's work towards that. And I think, you know, Sherry, I would love to hear your last thought on this, but I feel like this is a good place for us to end.
Oh, I am camping out on that word capacity.
Yeah.
That it's not about control. It's about capacity. Oh, I could just feel everything in my heart relax,
mm-hmm.
especially after so many years of being called a control freak. And I'll just throw out there that HSPs have something called fluctuating capacity.
Yeah.
And it's not just HSPs. There's many reasons why we might have fluctuating capacity. And so being able to advocate for what we need to show up as our best self.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I love that so much. Thank you for that permission.
And this may give insight to maybe you're raising a kid or maybe you have a roommate or a partner who you're like, man, yeah, they would not be able to eat dinner with that plastic tag in the back of their shirt. Or yeah, noise just affects them in a different way. And you know, I've always called them high maintenance. Maybe they are low capacity and maybe their high is, did you say perception?
Yes.
Highly perceptive.
Yes.
And they take in more information than they are able to process in a healthy, joyful way. And so if this has given you any insight, I would love to hear about it from you because That's what we're doing here. We're saying just because clutter affects us differently doesn't mean that we are less than or that we are more than. We all want to live in places that support our nervous systems. And I think this is a beautiful way of saying, yeah, being there. Sherry's doing the alleluia, amen over there. And shout out to your sensitive and strong community. We are so grateful that you have given us these questions, that you've given us these topics.
Kathy, for the listener who wants to keep taking small, doable steps toward less clutter and more life, what do you recommend as her next step?
If you haven't joined the Clutter Free Academy group, I'm going to encourage you to do so. If clutter is something you want to change in your life, this is the group for you. We want you to be a part of this because we have the best conversations in there. We have the most uplifting people, and we have great befores and afters where you can really experience transformation. So all you have to do is go to Facebook, search Clutter Free Academy. It'll pop up. The group is named Kathy Lipps Clutter Free Academy. And you'll have to answer a few questions to join. And we want you to be in there. It's a great, safe place to really work on your clutter.
Thank you for listening to Grit and Grace, the podcast for highly sensitive Christian women. I hope this episode leaves you feeling encouraged, equipped to thrive, and ready to protect your capacity and calm. Be sure to follow in your favorite podcast app and share this episode with a friend. Now, if you're brand new to the whole HSP concept, come take the Am I a Highly Sensitive Person quiz. You'll find that link in the show notes. And remember, God created you sensitive. In Christ, you are always strong. If today's conversation has helped you recognize that home management can require more of your HSP capacity than most people realize, I'd love to invite you to learn more about the Sensitive and Strong Community Cafe, the HSP Resource Center for Christian Women. Capacity has become one of our major themes throughout 2026. Together, we're exploring what drains our capacity, what restores it, why it can fluctuate so dramatically, and how to make choices that reflect the capacity we actually have, not the capacity we think we should have. Inside the Sensitive and Strong Community Cafe, you'll find practical resources, meaningful conversations, and camaraderie with women who understand what looks so small from the outside can require a great deal from an HSP nervous system. And best of all, you don't have to keep explaining yourself because everyone in the cafe understands what it's like to be an HSP. To learn more, just go to sherrygregory.com/cafe. That's sherrygregory.com/CAFE. And of course, you'll find the link in the show notes.